Good morning. And welcome to Calvary. If you happen to be a first-time worshiper with us this morning, an especially warm welcome to you. We're glad you're here with us this morning. If you happen to be a first-time worshiper, we'd love for you to fill out that little envelope you received as you arrived. Put down your name and contact information. We'd love to get connected with you. Drop that in the offering plate when it comes by. Let's see. Lots of things going on here at Calvary this weekend. It's a big weekend. If you look at your bulletin, the inside of your bulletin, a couple of things I just want to draw your attention to. This weekend, we celebrate four baptisms. We had two last night. We have two at the next service. We also, this afternoon, celebrate the rite of confirmation. And so we have 31 students who are affirming their faith this afternoon. And so we'll gather here at 1 o'clock and celebrate that together. We also today launch a new worship series, and the theme, if we can put that on the screen, is the Almost Christian Things We Say. And when we came up with that name, I said, I'm going to get in trouble for that. But you and I both know that there are phrases or there are things that we say as people of faith, that they're phrases that sort of roll off our tongue that sound sort of Christian, but they leave a little bit of a sour taste in their mouth. And so this morning, we're going to kick off this series by talking about the phrase, God helps those who help themselves. How many of you have heard that or said that before, huh? Right? And what's interesting is in the life of the church, today is also called Reformation Sunday. And it was on this day, some 500 years ago, that Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the church in Wittenberg. And it was an argument that he made that was actually the exact opposite of this phrase that lit off a period of history in the church called the Reformation. And it's why we have the church today. So Pastor Nathan is going to share some words about that. I think this is going to be a great, great, great series. One last thing, we're starting a new liturgy today, and so Nolan will be leading us in that. Some of you may remember it's a liturgy we've used in the past. It's now the feast and celebration, so we'll be working our way through that today. The words will be on the screen, but just note the page numbers if you're one of those that likes to follow along in the hymnal. All right, I think that's enough for announcements. Please stand, greet your neighbor with your name, a handshake, a sign of God's peace. gathered together today in the name in which we live, the name in which we baptize, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And if you would join me with our confession and forgiveness as found on the screen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
And together we confess. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Friends, God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, all your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
Just as Pastor Hans said, we will be doing a new liturgy. It is not page 157 or 167. It is actually hymn number 157 and 167. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
For the reign of God and for peace throughout the world. For the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For your people here who have come to give you praise. For the strength to live your word, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Save and defend us, O God.
Amen.
Now the feast and celebration, all of creation sings for joy. To the God of life and love and freedom, praise and glory forever. Blood has freed and united us to be one great people of God. Now the feast and celebration, all of creation sings for joy to the God of life and love and freedom, praise and glory forever. Christ forever. Now the feast and celebration, all of creation sings for joy to the God of life and love and freedom, praise and glory forevermore. For God has come to dwell with us, to make us people of God, to make
please join me now in our prayer of the day as found on the screen. Together we pray.
Gracious God, you know us better than we know ourselves. You know our hopes, fears, dreams, and desires. Now, God, help us to know you. Give us words to describe you, that reflect your love for us and for all people. We pray this in your name. Amen.
And you may be seated as we hear our psalm for today.
We're going to read response of Psalm 107, verses 1 through 3 and 17 through 22. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe,
those he gathered from the lands from the east and west, from the north and the south.
Some became fools through their rebellious ways
and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death.
Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress.
He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave.
Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind.
Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy.
So we're saying, Jesus loves me. We want to ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon. Come on up, kids. Morning, everybody.
Morning.
How are you doing today?
Good.
That's good. So I have a bobblehead here. I don't know if you know. Can you read that here? Martin Luther. Anybody heard the name Martin Luther? Have you heard that name? Yeah. This is Hans's. His head falls off once in a while. I have one, but I didn't pull it out of my box someplace that I have, whatever. But his. So I'm keeping it on now, pretty good. But you know, a lot of times we get all, you know, busy because what's happening this week? A little thing where you put costumes on? Halloween. Sometimes we think that's what this whole week was about. But you know, back in 1517, you know, today we're 2018, right? Way back in 1517, a guy by the name of Martin Luther nailed what was known as 95 theses or 95 questions on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. That's over across the pond, right? And were questions of the Catholic Church about some things that he was concerned about. And there was a thing that was started called the Reformation. The Reformation, where the Reformation started to say, we need to look at ways of reforming, making changes in the Church of Jesus Christ. And one of the main emphases, one of the main messages was that Martin Luther in his life, he thought he needed to be afraid of God. Do we need to be afraid of God? No, but he was really afraid of God. But then it came clear to him that we don't need to be afraid of God because God loves us by his grace. Can you tell me, say that with me? He loves us by his
grace.
And you know what grace is? That unconditional love that God has for you and me. And because of that message, Martin Luther reformed and changed the church. And today, Calvary is known as Calvary Lutheran, Martin Luther Lutheran Church, right? So we are a part of the Reformation. And so this week, yes, we celebrate Halloween, but we also remember that Martin Luther, on All Hallowed Evening, October 31st, 1517, help to bring changes to the church. Isn't that a wonderful message to remember? So today, we remember Martin Luther, and we remember the Reformation, and it's why we have read, it's why we have a confirmation this afternoon, and it's why we continue to celebrate God's love. Can you remember that today? I think Hans has a sucker for you over here, if you want to get that.
As the kids leave, we'll be singing again a new hallelujah. This is on hymn number 172. We'll sing it through twice. Alle, alle, alle.
So how many of you love the musical, The Sound of Music? Yes, oh, everybody's hand goes up. I think most of us do because, you know, there's so many things about that that means a lot to people. And I remember when the movie came out in 1965. Can you imagine 1965? I was just finishing my eighth grade year in school. And this musical, of course, is filled with so many wonderful songs. In fact, most of us know by heart, and we love to sing along with the songs, My Favorite Things, or Climb Every Mountain, or Edelweiss. Yet there's also a favorite song that has an interesting message. It is where Maria and Captain Von Trapp have affirmed their love for each other, and they're together in the gazebo that night. And Maria sings this song. Somewhere in my youth or childhood, I must have done something good. Nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could. So somewhere in my youth or childhood, I must have done something good. The message that comes from this is that in life there must be some cause and effect, a reward for being good, a blessing that comes only if there is some kind of a precipitating factor. I've been a good person, helped somebody along the way, treated animals well or whatever, and that is why this good thing is happening to me. On the other hand, when something bad happens, there are some who decide that there must have been some bad deed, there must have been some bad choice, or there must have been some bad decisions that were made. So the underlying message is this, and many of us grew up with this kind of attitude that many, you know, was kind of passed on to us. Do some good things, work hard, live a moral life, and it will follow that some good things are going to happen to you. Now, this kind of thinking, of course, is very popular, and sometimes it's stated this way. God helps those who help themselves. In fact, there are some people who actually think that this is a verse right out of the Bible. And yet I hate to inform you today that it is not. There is no verse like this in the Bible. But through the years, however, this has sometimes been promoted as a Christian truth and a Christian principle. In fact, it has sometimes even been used in politics to try to argue that we shouldn't give welfare or support to anyone who does not work, for God only helps those who help themselves. But the problem with this thinking is that it totally neglects the message and the teachings and the example of Jesus himself. Now, there might be some Old Testament passages that people can pull out, you know, and sometimes we hear that. I know there's some preachers they call the success preachers who are preaching that says, you know, it says here and it says there, you do this and God's going to do this and you can be really wealthy and you can be whatever else. And there are maybe some obscure passages people can find. But one of the things about us as Lutherans that Martin Luther taught a lot was that we always have to filter all of these passages in the Bible through the message of Jesus, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And if it doesn't, even something that Jesus taught and something that Jesus stressed, that's really not the truth that we cling to. For Jesus is always the center of our message. And we have to remember that those kind of passages do not support the message of Jesus and his love. And one of these main passages that destroys this thinking is that passage from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And I mentioned today that Martin Luther was afraid of God. He thought God was going to judge him. He thought God was an angry judge. But it was this passage from Ephesians chapter 2 that basically transformed his life and ultimately has transformed the church. Ephesians 2 says, the Apostle Paul says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not your own doing. It is not from yourselves, but rather it is what? It is a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. For," he says, "we are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Now, God through Jesus is certainly not opposed to hard work, and Jesus is not opposed to doing good things. In fact, this passage says that he has an advanced plan that we are to use our gifts for his glory. But what this means is that the good things that we do are not meant to simply do good things for us, but rather that he has given us good things in our lives so that we can bless the lives of others. It is a message of why God blesses us, to make sure that we are blessing to others. Now, in this message, there is also the reality that we struggle with when we deal with this kind of a phrase that's really not Christian, but the thing we struggle with is that good things oftentimes happen to bad people. And that drives us nuts if you're doing this kind of thinking. I don't like it that this person's blessed. I don't like it that this person seems to have normal kids. I don't like it that this person's business, because the person's a crook. And so we struggle with that when we have the cause and effect, and we start judging other people in that process. Now, this dates me a little bit. Maybe some of you remember the book back in 1981 by Rabbi Harold Kushner, a little book called When Bad Things Happen to Good People. It drives us nuts. Why do bad things happen to the good people? Because when I do good works, isn't God supposed to bless me for those good things? But Jesus himself says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, he says this. He says, "God causes the sun to rise on the what? Evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous." Many years ago, I preached a sermon, and I used the title of it, and I still kind of like the title that I chose, but it's a title called God's Strange Economics. God's Strange Economics. And if you think about it, God's economics are totally different from the economics that we think of today. In fact, in many ways, God sets our economic whole thinking on its ear oftentimes. God is not a capitalist. God is not a socialist. God is God. And God's economics are different, and God's economics are strange. For example, Pastor Hans told the story a couple weeks ago. He used a wonderful message on this, but it's a wonderful story about the laborers in the vineyard. With the laborers, some of the faithful people working from early morning till late in the evening. Yet the workers who were hired late in the day and only worked an hour or two got paid exactly the same as those who had worked 10 hours. And when the faithful, those good, faithful workers, when they expected better benefits, the landowner, who of course represents God himself, makes this statement, "Do you begrudge my generosity?" And it's a question I often ask of myself. When I see somebody who I don't think deserves a life being blessed, do I get mad at God? It's not fair. I should have more blessings because look at how much I've done. Do I begrudge God's generosity and how God gives out his blessings? God does not bless or give extra blessings to those who help themselves. He gives even more blessings sometimes to those who we feel don't deserve it at all. And that's something that sometimes we struggle with in our lives. And Jesus himself always reminded the people that the first will be last, while the last will be first. And Jesus ends up commending the Good Samaritan, who gave his time and his money to help somebody he didn't even know, to help somebody who was poor, somebody that was ignored, somebody that he had no reason why he had to care for them. Jesus commends the Good Samaritan. Mercy, love, empathy, being a servant. That's the truth that Jesus taught. And then there's that picture from Matthew 25. Many of you know it. If not, I'd encourage you to read the picture of the last judgment day, that last judgment picture. And the words were said where he says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For what I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me.'" And the reality is that these righteous people will ask, when did we do that? And that's the thing about this passage that I just love, is they don't even realize that they were doing those things. They were so touched by God's grace, and it was so much a part of just simply who they were and what they were doing every day. They ask the king, when in the world did we even do those things? And the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Jesus says that on the last day, you and I will not be questioned about our bank accounts. We will not be questioned about what we thought were all our good deeds, all the good and wonderful things we thought we had done. And he will not be questioned about how we thought certain individuals in this world should have just bucked it up and worked harder, and they shouldn't have received handouts or whatever else. Rather, Jesus will question us, the righteous, and he will question us with this: how did we care for the poor? How did we care for the hungry? How did we care for the needy? In fact, I think our wealthy country will be judged. I think our wealthy country is being judged today on our mercy, on our grace, on our generosity to the poor, to the immigrant, and to the minority. Now, Martin Luther, we talked about this being Reformation Sunday, was also one who was touched and transformed by this grace and this love of Jesus. And he was one who also confronted and challenged the disparities in the society at that time. He, of course, did not side with the religious establishment. Martin Luther didn't side with the nobility. He didn't side with the proletariat. Martin Luther didn't side with the landowners, and he didn't side with the wealthy. No, Luther sided with the peasants. He sided with the downtrodden. He sided with those who could not make a good living or get a good education because the system was stacked against them. And the system in Germany at that time was totally unfair. When only the wealthy can get an education, when only the wealthy can get a good job, when only will wealthy have family members who can give them a boost to open their many doors, the poor suffer no matter what they do and no matter how hard they work. It's a system where the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. So Martin Luther made this very bold statement back then. He said, if you dig ditches, he talked about the lowest of the low jobs that you could ever do. If you dig ditches to the glory of God, you are as honorable to God as a pope, a bishop, a person of nobility, and a wealthy person. Now you can see why Martin Luther was excommunicated. You can see why he was made an outlaw where someone could easily take his life. You can see why he was known as such a rebel in the church and in the country at that time. Because proclaiming a message that all are saved by God's grace through faith, and God's love and grace has absolutely nothing to do with how good we think we are. God's grace and love has absolutely nothing to do with all the wealth or the honors that we have in our lives. And God's grace and love has nothing to do with how we think that we are a self-made person. God's grace is so radical because the reality is that all are completely equal in God's eyes. All are completely equal in his love and in his care. So Luther's stand and his teachings in the 1500s helped to bring fuel to the peasants' war that lasted for 30 years. And it's an interesting history. I'd encourage you to read about more about it if you're interested. But the message was that no one can simply work hard and help themselves if the system is stacked against them. So the Reformation, which people don't often realize, the Reformation was not just about reforming the Catholic Church. That was part of it. But it was about God's grace and mercy transforming each and every follower of Jesus Christ. And it was about the Church of Jesus Christ standing with anyone who is oppressed. And through the years, empowered by the Reformation focus on this radical grace of God, churches who claim the Reformation heritage have been on the front lines of advocating for the poor, the hurting, those who are unable to help themselves. And churches influenced by the Reformation have helped to bring thousands of refugees and immigrants to America. And we think about all of the Hmong people and other people that we have helped, Lutheran Social Services and Lutheran Refugee Services, and all the things that we have done through the years that we have helped bring to Minnesota and to America. And our mission efforts have brought food and clothing and care and education and work training to people at home and in distant lands. And I think of our backpack attack, and I think of Bihar, India, and all of the things that the church has been motivated to do. Because grace, the power of the grace that Martin Luther lifted up and helped transform the church, cares for every single person unconditionally. It cares for every single person unconditionally. So the truth is that God does not help those who help themselves. And he really has no time for those who think that they deserve more than others. But rather, God has blessed you and me with his grace and his love and his generosity and all the things that God, so that we can be a blessing to others, so that we can advocate for, that we can defend those who maybe don't have the kind of privileges that we have. He has called us to generously love others as he has so generously loved us. For remember, at the end of our lives, Jesus will not care about how good we thought we were, or about how we thought we helped ourselves and how we pulled ourselves up by the bootstraps. He's not going to care about our political positions or our political beliefs. But rather, according to Matthew 25, Jesus is concerned about one thing. As you have done it unto the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you have done it to me. Let us pray. Loving Jesus, we celebrate the Reformation today. Sometimes we just think, well, it was a little change in the Catholic Church. It was just a little reform. It just brought about some things, and that, you know, we don't really know the power of it. But really, the radical nature of the Reformation changed Germany. It brought people to America who came and said, you know, no matter who we are, we can be people who can develop. We can be people who can use the gifts of God. And the focus was on, as people came to develop orphanages, and they had developed hospitals, and they developed schools, and they developed all kinds of things because of that amazing grace of God. Help us, Lord, today to continue to claim the Reformation promises and to continue to be a life-changing and a radical church for your love today and every day. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
say the words, Lord, in your mercy, and if you would respond, hear our prayer. Loving God, we often say or hear phrases that sound almost Christian, phrases that leave a sour taste in our mouths, yet we say and hear them often. God, as we worship over the next few weeks, as we discuss some of the almost Christian things we say, help us and move us. Be with us and help us to come to understand the depth of your love for us. Lord, in your mercy. And loving Jesus, the phrase, God helps those who help themselves, easily promotes the belief that all that matters in life is my own success and blessing, while others need to simply work hard and create blessing for themselves. Loving Jesus, remind us again of your truth that life is never meant to be about individual success, but rather about loving our neighbors, caring for the poor, and providing love and blessings to the least of these. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, many of the divisions in our country today are a result of the disparities in our society. Between the haves and the have-nots, the rich and the poor, those who have access to good education and jobs, and those where the system is stacked against them. Loving God, remind us again that every person is equal in your eyes. Remind us that none of us will ever be truly free until there is justice, freedom, and equal opportunity for every person, regardless of their color, their gender, religious background, or country of origin. God, we pray especially this morning, we mourn with the families of the victims of the recent shooting at the synagogue in Pittsburgh. We pray for our brothers and sisters who lost loved ones. God, we pray for your peace, Lord, and your mercy. Loving Jesus, on this Reformation Sunday, 31 young people will affirm their confirmation promises this afternoon. Remind us of Martin Luther's words that our individual baptisms and confirmation promises are meant to be lived and renewed every day of our lives. God, we also pray for the four infants baptized this weekend. Help us to wrap them in your love. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Spirit, you call Calvary to be a church that is for people in the messiest of lives, to be a church that reflects Jesus' love and love them no matter who they are, no matter what they are going through. Holy Spirit, fill your church with your amazing grace, your radical acceptance, and your overflowing love. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, and all God's people said.
Amen.
You may be seated at this time as we continue our service by collecting on
forgive our debtors.
lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Thank you, Pam. Thank you, Jim. Please rise. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We remember that on the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus, he took bread. And after giving thanks, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to each one of those disciples gathered with him. And he said, take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then after supper, he took the cup. And after giving thanks for it also, he blessed it, and he gave it to each one of them to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, given and shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this also in remembrance of me. And together we pray the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace both now and forever. Amen. And now as you leave this place, wherever it is that you go from here and whatever it is that you do this week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you God's peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Peace, to love and serve the Lord.